Zach Bitt.
Here.
Joe Brown.
Joe Calder.
Here.
Here.
Matthew is here.
Here.
Larry Marotta.
Jimmy Mortimer.
Kathy Rivers.
Jim Sayer.
Jeremy Stupas.
Here.
Zach Gensler.
Les Freiland.
And Lorraine Whitemore.
Here.
I'm Jeffrey. All right, we have a call.
Thank you, Jeffrey. If I may interject, I'd like to introduce everybody to Lorraine Blakemore. Lorraine is representing FAMA, Fourth Avenue Merchants Association, in place of Casey Anderson. Casey Anderson has stepped down from the commission. So FAMA has appointed Lorraine to her place. So I'd like to introduce Lorraine. Welcome.
Hi there.
All the audience.
So everyone should have received their minutes.
I sent them yesterday.
Yes, and I think the minutes are provided in your handout.
Yeah.
I'll make a note.
You have a second?
Okay.
Flynn?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstained. Wasn't here.
You.
Sorry, you need to figure out. Sorry, you made a show that ran to midnight last night.
Oh, you must be tired. Who was it?
All knocked up. No, it's your favorite.
Right.
Stalling.
So, I have no report as the chair. So let's head on to the administrator's report.
Okay, I'd also like to point out before we get started, our brand new technology in the room. This should be easier to see. It's easier for me to see. But this is our new monitor. We have a control panel that's hooked up to a city IT. We can host meetings from here. There's speakers and microphones that are new. We're not connected to the public via this meeting. It's only in person here. But in the future, if we are hosting a meeting that is hybrid or connected to the outside world, just keep in mind that the microphones here are very sensitive, so any sidebar conversations can be picked up by microphones. Just want to put that out there so everyone understands that. So we're able to hook up laptop and host additional meetings in here. The city does take advantage of this conference room quite a bit. So, and it's available to any of your organizations at any time as well. You just call me with that.
Sorry,
Mike. Good job.
Hi, everybody.
How are you? So I was just talking about our new technology. We have a new monitor here.
It's so much better.
Right?
Yeah.
And this is able to, we're not hooked up to the outside world through this meeting today. We're just in person. But in the future, if we do have a public meeting where there's outside guests that join via Teams, the microphones in here are extra sensitive. So just keep that in mind. Even a whisper, we tested it out last week, and whisper back here. These are actually two big new microphones. They look like speakers, but with the green lights, those are super high sensitive microphones. So just want to make sure everyone's aware of that. And we're at the administrator's report, unless you have a chair report. Okay, and I also wanted to introduce Lori Blakemore, representing FAMA. Okay, administrator's report. Thank you, Jeffrey. The clock is being replaced.
Yes.
We will be purchasing a new clock. It has seen better days.
So I look forward to its arrival.
By next commission meeting, we'll have a clock here.
Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. So administration report, parking service agent staffing levels. Last week, October 14th and 15th, Park Tucson and HR from the city held interviews for four parking service agent one positions. Those are the number of positions we have open. We offered four positions, only two out of the four accepted. So two of them declined, even our backup declined. So three technically declined. We went with a backup just in case that was gonna be the case, but three out of the five declined. So two have accepted. We hope to onboard those two parking service agents within 2 weeks, hopefully, fingers crossed, within 2 weeks. And we're gonna immediately repost the position for two open positions for parking service agents.
Was there a specific reason they gave for declining?
That was not provided to us from HR. It wasn't. I could also add that there was a lot of no-shows. We invited over 24 individuals, and there were 24 interviews scheduled, but I'm gonna say about 30%, 20 to 30% of those didn't show up.
Only eight showed up.
Okay, even worse than I recall. So that just shows you a little state of the hiring, arena right now. But we did get two on board, so that's good. So I'll take any questions about the staffing levels. We are working on retention as well. We're looking at potentially reclassifying the parking service agents into another role that has a higher wage rate within the city. It's about another dollar or so an hour for their wage rate. So we hope that that's gonna go through. We're gonna have meetings with HR and executive staff to try to get that pushed to the next wage level, and hopefully implement that soon in order to keep our retention levels up. But as you know, retention is a struggle for us. Special events calendar. Just want to highlight some of the special events coming up. And I know this list isn't as pretty as DTP's list, but it does summarize a few of the events happening around downtown. Trunk or Treat happened this Saturday. Jose on our team was there and it heard that it went very well. Had 90 cars and probably close to 200 participants from what I understand. That was in our haunted City State Garage. We had the gates up and that was open to the public. A lot of kids going around seeing the cars and getting candy out of the trunks of the cars. But we have all these upcoming events, Night for the Living, Ciclovia, All Saints Day, Dust Festival, Tour de Tucson, Made in Tucson, and 4th Avenue Street Fair, December 13th through 15th. And we appreciate Downtown Tucson Partnership sending out all the events to help us plan. And we do look ahead in the calendar and make sure that if there's special parking arrangements, we make sure that we're hooding meters and getting our parking service agents to various areas to assist in managing parking around these events. We also increase security when necessary. So this is all good stuff to keep everybody in the loop. So thank you, Richard.
Gavis swaps in November. It's not out there, is it?
Oh. What is it called? Sorry.
The Greater Arizona Bicycling Association swap meet, which occurs around the Armory Park.
Okay.
And you're gonna have to hook meters, and there's gonna be people parking there when I get there, and I can't send my people to their spaces because they're taken.
Got it. We will keep it open for that. We'll look into that.
It's a big event. It's a nice one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, Armory Park's been busy lately with events. So any questions, comments about the upcoming special events? Okay. On-street parking meter status report. We just received a shipment back of 276 meters. They were repaired and or upgraded. And we're gonna be installing these meters in the field over the next 2 weeks. Half of these meters or a portion of them received upgrades in terms of their modem, their connectivity. So they were 2G technology and they've been upgraded to 4G to coincide with the new technology. We can't yet do that for the meters around Armory Park. Those are not smart meters. But hopefully in the future, next budget year, we can plan to replace some of those older style meters with the new meters. The meters also came back with software upgrades. As you recall, we're having issues with battery life with our parking meters, and IPS, the company that provides and maintains them, found different configurations through other clients experiencing the same issues, different configurations that's going to save battery life. So there was a number of changes made. Those have been implemented to all the meters in the field that were smart meters, and we hope that our battery life is going to be improved, and that's going to also save us money because we were going through backup batteries at a very high pace, which are very expensive. So that should be able to keep our meters alive longer and save money.
Question. Do the new meters keep change? Or is it
yes.
Okay.
The new meters accept
okay.
points, yes.
Thank you.
Do some of them have a solar panel too?
Yes.
Does that contribute at all to the battery or?
Yes, the solar panel charges the backup battery.
The main battery.
The main battery. When the sun's not available, the backup battery chips in for the solar panel. Yeah. But all the smart meters have solar panels. The Armory Park versions do not.
Which are those? The Duncan meter?
Mm-hmm.
Duncan is Armory Park.
Oh,
IPS
is exactly that's what I'm asking. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
All right, moving on to online reservations of on-street parking. And I know most of you have seen this already, but we are getting ready to launch this, a soft launch, with 4 or 5 frequent flyers for folks who purchase or reserve on-street meter parking spaces. So as you know, special events, construction, they do ask for meters to be hooded, and this is our new online system. It's going to be available through our website. I'll just take you through it real quick. We're broken down into 4 sections here. I'm choosing 4th Avenue, a special event, and a map pops up, and you are then able to select a meter. 1, 2, 3 here. If I select this meter here, I click the green button, it's now been added to my selected meters list. There's a meter number and an address. You select a start date, let's call it Halloween through the 4th, and it adds up all the fees for the weekend and the weekday rates. We have different rates on the weekend and weekdays. So it's going to cost $19.50. And then you buy it, and you have to add a credit card and do all the stuff you normally do when you purchase something online. You have to add a vehicle. This is a vehicle that I already have in my online profile, so I would select that vehicle. If you're a nonprofit, you provide the 501c documents, and then you buy it. So reminded me to put a credit card. I'm not going to do that now, but that's essentially how the system works. The customer then receives an email with their confirmation and a copy of their permit, which they can display on their vehicle. And there are processing fees associated with these purchases. We're going to pass on those processing fees to the customer. They're going to total about $4.50. So it's about the same price as one day's worth of parking, but it's a one-time processing fee to take care of the credit cards and the online hosting fee, and then 50 cents per day per meter. So it's going to cost 50 cents additional, and that's something that IPS has in their way the product works. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to start that very soon, and then if the soft launch goes well and we don't have any too many tweaks and issues, we will advertise this to the public for their use. We don't have an exact date. JR, do you anticipate starting within a week or so?
I hope we can do the soft launch probably within the next week, and then we'll probably test it for about a month before we open it to the public. I just want to make sure that we have any, if there's any kinks in it, I want to make sure we get them worked out before we actually open it.
Any questions about the online reservations of on-street parking? Wider than just this group, and this is the letter that you're referring to. This letter was sent to this group, and the big contributor, Downtown Tucson Partnership, sent it out to all the merchants and businesses on their mailing list. I've also sent it to FAMA, who stated that they have distributed it to their area businesses. I also shared it with all the neighborhood associations. Within the area that the meters are.
Okay. On Reddit yesterday.
I'm sorry?
It was on Reddit yesterday.
It was on Reddit. Okay, so it's making its rounds. I also heard that K-Gun 9 and NBC also.
Saw the Daily Star too, or at least a photo, which means they have an article coming probably.
Okay. Amanda's aware of this, I'm sure. So Amanda was a huge help in developing this letter and the public outreach. Amanda, I don't know if you want to share anything in addition to what we're doing, or if you want to show the communication plan.
No, I'll just quickly talk about, in addition to the letter, that we did send out a press release that went out to the citywide, getting the feedback from community members as well that come and visit downtown, the downtown area. So that's part of the outreach that went out, and I was just clicking on our survey where people can go and submit their feedback. And as of yesterday, we already have 565 responses.
Okay.
That was my face too.
I also received a few emails that I haven't been able to get to yet, so some folks have emailed me directly as well.
So then we'll continue, and part of the press release included the two virtual open house events, one which is scheduled for tomorrow afternoon and then next Tuesday at 5:30. So we'll present, or Tom will present at those, and we'll receive feedback from anybody who attends those meetings as well.
Thank you so much. I appreciate all your work with that. On the screen here is the survey. It's a very short survey. We ask for the respondent to identify who they represent, who they are. A 1 through 5 scale of indicating how in favor they are of the enforcement hours, and a box to submit comments. So it is out there with 565 comments. It sounds like we've made it out there.
They're all positive, right?
I know my two emails I received were not positive. So far, not positive. Here's information on the website that is live as of yesterday for the two virtual open houses. So you can select one of the two dates, and they are virtual. And we have a frequently asked questions section here as well.
Tom, I'll just add, this will obviously be shared with the commission once we receive all the feedback, but it looks like the majority of people who responded identified as a resident or visitor of the downtown area.
Thank you.
I know that the bike transit people, like car free, like at least on their social media, they're encouraging people to respond positively to this so that people who drive cars have to pay more to use public spaces. But I think that's going to be about the only pro. I think Timothy, was it maybe Timothy? Somebody put something on Facebook yesterday, and it was like a journalist who said, I already hate paying for parking in the downtown area, and this will just deter me from coming. So I think it's going to be pretty contentious. I mean, my customers are already saying the same, that they're like, forget it, this is ridiculous. So I think it's going to be hard. Eventually people will get used to it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And we plan to come back to the commission at the next meeting to a summary of the responses.
So the chamber will be sending that as well. And then I've already started pinging individually and texting our business members that we know are downtown. So I'm sure overlap with DTP, but those have been kind of personal conversations. And you know, when I talk about kind of the science around that, you know, that curb efficiency has actually made some business owners go, oh, that makes sense. So I was against this idea. Now I at least understand the why behind it. But a couple of things popped up. So two trend pieces of feedback. One was that in other cities that do have extended, you know, meter enforcement, and understanding that some of the reason for this change is that residents and employees have been using meters for hours on end, it's not creating that transition, have very robust employee parking plans and reduced packages as a part of that enforcement. And so at least the business owners that I talked to weren't aware of Tucson having, you know, along with this kind of communication plan for residents and employees, especially of saying, hey, you can't just hang out at this spot for, you know, 6 hours anymore, but the city has a plan that is reduced for employees to park. So I thought that was an interesting comment that I got twice. And some of it was almost, hey, can we roll, it would be best to roll something like that out as the meter enforcement hours get extended. So I just wanted to pass that on.
Okay, and you're referring to like the monthly permit programs, like monthly parking for employees? Is that what they're talking about, or?
So like, almost like the reservation,
mm-hmm.
having kind of a, something that's communicated to employees.
Okay,
of
their options.
Of their options for reduced costs for parking downtown.
So that's something maybe, Amanda, we should highlight for employee parking and options in our monthly garages. I know that we are almost sold out in most of our garages right now, and we can put our heads together, and thank you for the heads up. That would help, you know, answer questions as they come in. So.
I think so, yeah, and the positive comments from the business owner that I talked to was, if that messaging was coordinated, it would round off the first impression that this is just a money grab. And so I think that positive PR would be really helpful. And then the other that I got was actually two businesses in the Mercado District wondering what conversation had been had, if any, around like quick 15-minute parking.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of kind of quick stop, run in, grab food or coffee, and run out.
Absolutely.
And so as the meters are being put in over there, will there be some spots where folks don't have to pay for parking if they're just grabbing something on the way out?
Absolutely. So JR and I met with the Mercado folks a couple weeks ago, and that was their request to have a couple more of those quick spots, and we're definitely open to that. We're waiting to hear back from Mercado on exact placements of meters and pay stations on their specific blocks within the district, and we want to satisfy their needs. So anything the business owners come up with, you know, if it's reasonable, we will accommodate that. I plan to host a specific Mercado open house about, virtual open house about this topic as well. So I do plan to address those direct business owners.
Perfect. Yeah, and I guess I'll just say that overall, the conversations I plan to have are really pragmatic and overall positive. But I have received as well concerns similar to Jill's from downtown businesses who are saying, we're already seeing a reduction in foot traffic, period, this year in downtown. And there's definitely concerns that that this would be an additional barrier in the short term to what has already been lagging business in the area. And I have to say, beyond the science of the data that you presented way back when, Tom, that was my first knee-jerk reaction as well. I still think the move makes sense, but downtown businesses aren't exactly thriving as it is, so.
Thank you so much, Zach.
I think the parking frustration is compounded, and I don't know how many folks live or work downtown, but the circulation has become near impossible with the endless construction. There's so many like heavily matriculated schools, lots of student housing, and there is a lot going on, you know, a lot of entertainment options and stuff like that, but it's like a double, it's a barrier unless people are taking rideshare because they plan on, you know, having alcohol. Otherwise, if they don't, they don't see any reason to not bring their car because it's convenient and it's quick and it's cheaper than taking rideshare or whatever. So that's not our job to address, but I think it's going to make this conversation more complicated.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, there's two very strong sides to it. They're the patrons who come down for shows, and then I have staff. My staff stash their cars places. Like, they will find a place to go park and then find a way to get to the Rialto. And on a night like last night, we had full, 100 staff on board last night. It was packed. And so I think about these kids all the time. I'm like, they're making just a little bit of the minimum wage, and I don't know where they're putting their cars.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that, again, I mean, when I lived down here, and I mean, I still do, but when I was younger and I lived down here, I was pretty sneaky about it too. You know, kind of knew where to go hide your car. But then also the patrons, again, and I know I brought this up and we addressed it, who want to come down for dinner and a show and they want to leave their car there and not have to think about it.
Right. If I may, in response to leaving the car there, we checked with our city attorney, we looked into the code, and you do not have to move your car. Let's say you start at 3 o'clock in that 2 hour time period,
right,
pay till 5, and then it's just paid parking after 5 o'clock. You're not required to move your car.
Right.
So that's going to be helpful to address that.
Yeah, because I think I told you, I mean, before I joined the commission, my staff are sneaky. They would trade each other. One would go put in coins, the other would use the app, and they would set timers as to who then needed to put the app for the other person's phone. That would run out. They really, they were. It was very smart. I was like, what is going on? But it's just interesting.
It is.
Well, and I was just going to, you know, anecdotally, like, I live on 8th Street behind Tucson High, and I've lived there for 25 years. And last year is the first year nighttime traffic parks all the way down 8th. It's now on Friday, Saturday night. We've never had that now. 10th Street has closed overnight parking, but it was closed overnight parking before the pandemic. So I just think that shows me that there's just not inventory. How many folks are coming down. And again, that's kind of like a layered deterrent. You know, if you have to park 4 blocks away, it's not super safe, it's not super lit, the sidewalks are non-existent. If they are, they're wonky. It's a problem, parking, unfortunately. And I know Park Tucson needs to make revenue, but then we're opening the door to larger problems for neighborhoods, for, you know, declining businesses, stuff like that. So I don't know how to address that in these conversations.
You know, maybe we should also double up our efforts in promoting the garages and surface lots. You know, that they're about the same price, $1 an hour, except weekends and evenings there's a flat rate, which is a pretty good deal if you ask me. And it's that lack of inventory that is really, that really drove us to look at this. When we did the car counts a year or two ago, we saw the streets are just full after 5 o'clock. And the goal of this, and enforcement and paid parking in and of itself should promote the turnover. That's at least what the study that was provided to us says. So we're hoping that one or two spaces per block will be open or available. That should hopefully, you know, provide a little more opportunity to park and reduce congestion. Hopefully you see a spot within a couple blocks and get off the street and park. So that, yeah, that all this should work together, and it's all about educating the public about their options. Absolutely. But yeah, we definitely see a lack of inventory. 100% capacity on street after 5 o'clock is what we've been seeing.
I would just second that, Tom, about the garages, and I try to always keep perspective that there's not really many cities our size in Arizona, in our region, I would imagine, where you can, 7 days a week, pretty much be guaranteed you can drive into downtown, park in your garage, and go to entertainment. And I think that two zone ends, I was on the DTP board for a while, Zach Baker is smiling, is I think look, Tucson's going to appreciate the fact that most cities our size anywhere else, you're driving by four garages that are all sitting before you can find one. And so we say for decades, well, there's no parking downtown, you can't get around downtown. And having lived and worked here for a while, like Jill, I'm like, there's hundreds of spaces on any given night in our garages for not much more. Like, why hasn't that messaging, you know, cut through? So I was going to bring that up before you did, Tom. That might be a campaign that is worthwhile again.
Thank you.
What garages are you referring to? I really mean that, because I know, like, El Centro is packed, the garage underneath by Hotel Congress is packed. My patrons can't seem to find space, parking, garages.
Yeah.
So, and again, I'm really not being sarcastic. I agree, there are lots of different problems here that affect different, you know, socioeconomic groups. It's really interesting, but my patrons aren't really finding, I'm not seeing it. We park, our staff parks in Centro, and every time we have a show, it's completely sold out. So again, if my venue holds 1,300 people and the parking garage only holds, you know, 100 cars, less, I would imagine, it's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Centro is the one that I can always think of that would be full.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, to your point, Kathy, I don't have necessarily like the size of the numbers, but
yeah,
it seems like Pennington often is available.
Yes.
You know, it also, I lived across from
Depot, MLK Apartments.
No, it's across from the convention center. I live there.
The City State Garage.
Yeah, there seems to be.
That one's always pretty empty on the weekends and nights.
Yeah,
but then people have the option to jump on the Sunlink and get anywhere.
Right, and that's where marketing will really help. I think, you know, we're starting to make deals with restaurants and get them tickets in exchange that our patrons park at their restaurant and then take a streetcar down to the show. It's marketing and training people.
Yeah.
Couple comments. Historically, surveys were done 15 years ago, and new garages that were built there because of the shortage of parking in that specific part of downtown. And I think there's also been a lot of growth in that area, so those garages have been built up. And but the other thing I wanted to say is, as an East Sider and somebody who feels more out of downtown than in Northwood, particularly now, I find that there is a lot of reluctance to park in garages. They don't know where the garages are, and they're not sure where they're at. So information to the broader community would be helpful along that line, because I know several people who come downtown for symphony events and various things at your facility, and they're very reluctant to not park on the street. And I've never been able to explain that. And in fact, over there, that direction, there is a fair amount of parking available, particularly on the City State. I don't think, is City State ever full?
City State Garage, is that ever full?
No.
No. No.
And of course, you have new parking structures, which we used one of them on Sunday. I think more information is important. I just wanted to emphasize, I know that's already been seconded, but I'm going to make that triple or whatever, because I think more information is important to the broader community. And so, enough said.
Thank you, and I promised to work with staff to take that to heart, to engage in a new campaign, to educate and provide information for the off-street facility.
The only time, when I come downtown, the only time I use the garage is when I'm coming here. Other than that, I'm usually parking a little bit around MLK or somewhere by Congress.
On the street.
Yeah, on the street. Yeah. Street parking by Congress.
It goes to show, you know, it's convenient, right? That on-street parking is really sought after. It's convenient. It's the first choice for a lot of people.
Yeah. Is the marketing committee gonna come back?
Yes, absolutely. I apologize for not getting that scheduled. November, we will have the marketing committee. Absolutely. This is a perfect first topic to talk about. Absolutely. Thank you, Zed. Any other questions about our outreach and our proposed meters? Thank you, Zed.
Okay, so now we move on to number 8. Review of City Parking Code
2260. All right, let me get that up on the screen. And just to refresh everybody's memory, there's 260 up on the screen. It's stopping standing parking between the curb and sidewalk or in an unimproved pedestrian area impeding continuous pedestrian use. It shall be unlawful to stop, stand, or park a vehicle, whether posted or not, in that area between the curb and a sidewalk, or in an unimproved pedestrian area such that it impedes continuous pedestrian use. Impeding continuous pedestrian use is determined when stopping, standing, or parking of a vehicle leaves less than 4 foot wide unimproved pedestrian area. Provided, unless the area is posted with no parking signs, it shall not be unlawful to stop, stand, or park a vehicle in an unimproved pedestrian area adjacent to roadways less than or equal to 26 feet wide. I know we did take action on this last time. I am looking to the commission for any action that you would like. I do know that it does, you know, if a change would be requested, you know, the city, the ward offices would need to be involved. Some traction from the community would kind of have to prompt this. I am still looking into ways to make changes. I have not done with that research yet. I do want to come back to the commission with any potential avenues to create changes. I do recall from the last commission meeting that it would be, the feeling was that it would be unfair to allow this and change this code in a specific neighborhood. It should be applied to all the neighborhoods equally. I don't have much to present on this topic except to hear a conversation, to take any direction from the commission.
Have you seen the draft ordinance?
I have not seen the draft ordinance.
It's a draft ordinance.
Okay.
That went to city attorney's office.
Okay.
I can provide that to you.
I can look. Thank you. I appreciate that, Richard.
So there's a place to start from. And in a straw poll in this commission, it's passed unanimously as something, you know, push forward.
Okay.
And then the electorates don't want to do anything with it, so it sits. It's like you can't get something on a study session just by asking. Which is fair enough. I'm not complaining about that. That's where we're stopped. It's not popular.
I think I didn't look into it deeply enough.
On my desktop, I just don't look at.
Does anybody have any other comments or questions about this? move on to financial statements.
All right, thank you. Trudy is here.
Good morning. All right, so these will be the financial statements ending September 30th, 2024. And starting with the revenues, things are looking pretty good for revenues. We are performing a little better than last year at the same time. Off-street parking is up a little bit, and on-street parking is actually down just a little bit. Permits are up, and citations are up. So overall, our revenues are performing better than last year. All right, and then moving into our expenses. Operating expenses are a little lower than last year. Overall, they do look to be a little bit higher, but that was because the debt service was not recorded at the same time. So we do have the debt service recorded for this year, and it's making the expenses look a little bit more than they were last year. But overall, we are operating in a surplus of $80,000 right now. That is good. And here is the overall report of budget to actuals for FY25. Showing just a rolled up revenues and expenditures. And then a quick picture of the revenues also rolled up in our pie graph. And the last document that was, it was not included in your packet. It was because I was reviewing the debt service and I had reported that we owed $9 million. And I had left off a piece where we share the LED debt service with the Highway User Revenue Fund. So it's actually $5 million that Park Tucson has in debt service. And that is it for that financial report. Any questions?
I have one. Yes, I missed the meeting the other day. On the on-street programs, the UA main gate parking revenues went down from $29,512 to $1,407. I was curious as to what the factors were that went into that.
You know, we did talk about that at the Finance Commission, and I was thinking it must have been an event at that time of the year. Any clue, Tom?
Construction. That's for meter hooding. That money there that you're asking about is for the reserved meters. Mm-hmm. So last year we had one new student housing that was being developed. So they had a lot of meters that were out of service. Uh-huh. And this year they don't have that. So that building is open, so a lot of those meters have went back into service. So that's why there's such a big change there.
Yeah.
Right, so yeah, that particular section is reserved parking fee.
Okay.
Okay.
I didn't have anything specific more than that.
Trudy, we're also working on a 5-year financial plan. If you just wouldn't mind just briefing the commission about what we're trying to achieve there.
The Park Tucson team, along with the finance team, developed a 5-year plan for Park Tucson, mostly to see when we're going to be able to be operating in a surplus. And so with all of the new meters going into place and the increased hours, we are looking to have our revenues performing better this year. So we actually do show, as of right now, that we will be out of debt this year, and we'll end in a surplus of $220,000. And then as these revenues continue to perform better each year, it's looking good, and we're ending with fund balance.
Yeah, we're hoping with the proposed meter enforcement hours, and Mercado meters. That's a big chunk of that. So that we're really relying on those two programs to pull us through.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions, comments? All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, on to item number 10. Subcommittee reports. Finance?
Okay, I had a couple things I mentioned, and they are, I think the five-year plan, I very much support that. I think it's something we need to see as it's finalized and looked at, so people have a better idea of where we're going. I mean, we've had a historical problem because of the epidemic, and we're still working through that, and understanding that is really important, and understanding how we need to get back to having a capital reserve that's built into our funds, so that the epidemic just so showed exactly why you need those funds. Because when you're running a business of this type, and it's a city-owned business, but it's business, and you need capital reserves to deal with problems as they come up. And the other one, that's the other huge issue that's been with us ever since we started building garages, is when and how that debt will be retired. So those two things, I think, are something that we want to get out to all of the members and get the members to understand how that impacts the future. And and when we started back in 1995, we had no resources, et cetera, and it was all about trying to find resources. And we had to find those resources, and that's what got us some additional parking garages, including this one. And we have to be in a good financial position to meet future parking needs. I will refer, there are people in the community who would like to see very limited downtown parking, but I think there's a balance with businesses, et cetera, that we need to strike between limited parking and that, and eventually that means we have to build up the garages. I think the top of the list for me would be 4th Avenue, but we can't do those things until we get this financial situation under control, and I would like to keep it in people's mind as to where we're at and moving forward to meeting those goals, because it doesn't happen overnight. So, I duplicated it up.
Thanks, Dale.
And we do plan to come back to the commission with the fiber plan in November.
Yes.
To present it.
Absolutely.
This garage is now?
The city acquired this. The situation when this garage was, or this garage was anticipated, was this was the site of the old Sears store and the old Levy's store downtown. Mm-hmm. Okay? And those were vacant buildings. And the city, because Sears had moved out onto Broadway, built the Park Mall store, was the first Sears store outside of downtown. And of course, they're both closed now. The one at Tucson Mall came along later. And of course, Levy's turned into eventually worked out to be Dillard's through national acquisitions. And those stores were empty, and the city did have to buy these sites, but they were not expensive sites at that time because they were vacant property.
Is this part of City Hall on Annex or no? Or am I misplacing where the Annex was?
Well, the Annex was in the old, yeah, the Levy's building was originally acquired and was converted in many years before into being the City Hall annex. And so I skipped a step, but no. And but the Sears store was just a defective store.
Which explains how this particular garage is more affordable, because you're not acquiring land to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
I just want to get that in.
But the other garage, the other locations, the central garage in particular, was involved with the development of the apartment complex and the bus station site, and the three or four times they redesigned the new 4th Avenue underpass, which went through years of redesign. The developer came in and he said, look, and they'd come up with a design that actually went right through that site where that garage is. And he said, we can get much more developable land here if we keep it more where it was originally at. And make that function, and that fit in with the, and I'm going on beyond parking here, into the planning for the one-way pair, etc. on Broadway and on Congress, and how that would work, and of course the missing link on that whole planning that is still under construction. Was the Aviation Parkway, and you know, those things are finally coming to, you know, I mean, this is something that I worked on with the old Citizens Transportation Advisory Committee. We worked on those projects. Well, at the very first meeting I attended as a citizen volunteer in 1989, we voted against the freeway plan to bring the freeway through the north side of downtown, and to downgrade that to a plan that would more distribute that traffic around downtown rather than to have a freeway with just one ramp that came off into downtown through that area down south of Broadway. It would not be the kind of interchange between those two roadways to help improve the traffic. And then that ultimately made the narrowing of Congress and Broadway down to what it was, with the emphasis on the parking, etc. Because eventually that traffic that's going to James Monson Air Force Base or wherever it's going by the east side is was diverted from the downtown area, making that one-way pair work. And of course, it's always struggled because the Aviation Parkway is not there and that traffic's not been diverted. But that whole plan was developed in the early 1990s. And that is hopefully in March, as we talked at the meeting the other day, theoretically got a conclusion of the construction on the Aviation Parkway extension in March, and that hopefully that plan will work once it's going. Obviously, as somebody who's been a lot of planning, when you take something that you're going to do and you plan it for a 20-year life expectancy to meet the needs for the next 20 years, and then you take 25 years to get built, or 30 years to get it built, you're planning, you have to really wonder if it's going to go totally work.
Back to Centro, it's an awkward garage because it's Jim Campbell's project.
Mm-hmm.
And so awkward garages don't make as much money as well-planned garages. And that was basically, for lack of a better word, gerrymandered for economic benefit for somebody.
Yeah.
Exactly. One guy.
Who no longer owns it.
Yep. Yeah. In full disclosure, we actually sold School of Farmers restaurant way out on the east side to Jim Campbell.
It's okay. He's a nice guy, actually. It's fun to talk to.
Any other questions for finance? Okay, business district.
Do you see what they're doing?
Are they taking pictures of themselves?
They're, I think so. They're kind of trying to see what kind of reaction they can get. Having fun, whatever.
They always want to sit on themselves.
Yes.
The business district parking subcommittee met on October 11th. I didn't bring my notes with me, so Jill or Zach or Tom or JR, feel free to chime in. I'm going to kind of read off our agenda. And Tom, thank you. Tom's been putting the agendas together, and they've been great. So he does an administrator's report, on-street meters status, which we got today, parking service agent updates, special events calendar, we got all that today. The online reservation system. I feel like we probably mostly talked about the on-street food trucks. Just because we've gotten some feedback from businesses where a food truck will park right in front of their business. And I don't know if you've got others, there's really just been one that's been super vocal. So in the evening times, as you all know, it gets a little wild downtown just with the nightlife scene, the clubs are open. So a lot of the food trucks take advantage of that, park along Congress Street, 4th Avenue. I think some Main Gate Square, not really too sure. So Park Tucson, really after the hours of 5 p.m. currently and then 8 p.m. with a change Monday through Saturday, there's no enforcement. So as long as the food truck is paying for the space and is in the space, there's not really anything the agents can do to move that food truck along. And then there's some state statute that cities can't put their own policies in place to deter food trucks in specific business districts, even if they're paying for the space. So we had code enforcement. We were able to have code enforcement come out. This is probably like a month ago. And most of the vendors, they didn't have a peddler's permit, one. Two, they didn't have other permits, so they were all just given warnings. It was something like 28 people just in two nights that were contacted, asked for their permits, none of them had them, so it was more educational. So we're still kind of in a space where Park Tucson knows that they can't do anything to move food trucks along, but I think there's some confusion between like the state statute, local ordinances that possibly are there, and I don't even know, and I can't even begin to look into it and understand it. So we're working with code enforcement, and I haven't looped you into that email chain yet, but I will so that everyone's on the same page. That was mostly our discussion or meeting was about. Obviously, public outreach and stakeholder engagement regarding proposed extended meter enforcement hours. Like Amanda said, they did a great job. I think yesterday just is when I first got the notice, and then you just saw a bunch of notices go out. We sent one, DTP did. I saw the city's, they sent a press release. Amanda did a nice, or I don't know who does it now, but I think it's still Amanda, a nice newsletter that also had the renaming 6th Avenue for Donovan. So yeah, we'll just continue to send notices out. Tom's actually attending our Merchants and Retail Council next Thursday to kind of present on that topic. We set 15 minutes aside. You have the most time for that meeting. So you don't have to use all of it, but and anyone is welcome to attend that.
Right.
And that's pretty much it.
Is
Zach, can I ask a question? When the business owners were complaining that the food trucks were prohibiting people from coming to their business, what was their beef, basically, with the food trucks?
Essentially, it was parked directly in front of the business. So you have the business's entrance, and then you have the sidewalk, which is the space, and then the road, which is the beginning of that table. It's literally probably that far, maybe a little more, like 8 feet. So the truck's entrance line starts right there, could deter people from going into that business's entrance. He had named, the business owner had named a bunch of things that he didn't like about it. On different nights, he sent me pictures on the tables being set up, and that requires a different Department of Transportation permit for any setup in the public right of way. So tables, chairs, ice chests, even a garbage can, you can't just set up anything you want. But because there's no enforcement in the evening times, and that's not something our ambassadors will do, or even the parking enforcement agents, it's just kind of, like I told Tom in the meeting, it's kind of just a free-for-all.
Mm-hmm.
Out there, you'll see vendors doing just pop-up tables and selling baked goods, you know, which is not great. It's not a great look either, but, you know,
yeah,
it just is what it is until we can maybe get code enforcement and hopefully city attorney's office, maybe if it goes, I think they did give some feedback to you as far as, you know, this, how the state statute works versus the Park Tucson and the park. I think we know how that works, the parking meters. And then there's something with the local ordinances, if something exists or not. But basically that was a really long answer to your question.
No, I think the food trucks are there because the people are there.
Yes, yeah.
So. Well, if I may chime in a little bit, it's like TPD has also talked about that it's very problematic for them for there to be a gathering place when so many bars and such close, you know, area, all they kind of all gather and then wait and wait. And so it's just kind of a brewing pot. And like my business is on a corner next to a loading zone. And if we don't have a relationship with the food truck, if they have a loud generator, then our door guy can't properly interview a guest to see if they've had too much to drink before they come in. And it obscures, you know, like for patrolling TPD, it kind of hides things, and it's a bit of a security issue as well. I mean, and it's unfortunate because they're so awesome. I wish there was like a place where they could park and they were nearby, and you know. So that's another part of it. If there's nothing else on business district, we can move on to neighborhood.
Which did not
have.
Correct.
No, it
was canceled.
Yes,
I canceled.
And then Marcy.
We'll hold that, and we'll hold one in November. We'll be sending that invitation out. I know I've said that a couple months in a row here at least. But that, I believe that's the third Wednesday, so November 20th, we should host the marketing subcommittee.
Great. Does anybody have any future agenda items? Is there anything we can do to help you in these efforts of spreading the word for meter? I mean, aside from sharing with our networks and stuff, it's, you know.
Yeah, thank you so much, and I definitely appreciate all the support for everyone. No, simply passing the word out and then referring folks to our website where there's a lot of information about parking options and providing our contact information to submit comments. And we want to get back to as many as we can. But besides that, no, just spreading the word.
I'd like to bring back from Parking Presidential some information about 20-260, so we talk about it again in a meeting.
Okay.
Have the draft.
Great. Put the draft that's there.
It's
and
the
let's discuss it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
We'll see what the committee says about that.
I feel so strongly about that, but it can't just be one neighborhood. It has to be all or none. You know, if we have traction behind one, then, you know, hopefully we can maybe get it accomplished at all.
Right. And interestingly, Jim Locke from West University, the former director of transportation for the city of Tucson, wants to pursue it, but only for West University.
Because they have
dead set against it.
Yeah. Can't